You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Into hour number three, we will never give you up. It is Big Show, Russick and Rose. I hope that's actually what the song is and I didn't just screw that up. No Russick or Rose today. It is Peter Klein, Brett Kron, GVP. We have...
Did you say Brett Kron?
I said Brent Kron.
Brett Karn?
Brett Karn.
Remember Ben Kahn? Remember that Ben Kahn guy? He was sitting with Kippersoff.
Anyway, you didn't hear that. That was... We'll have to play that for you real quick one of these days.
Yeah, no, I missed that. Sorry. Anyway, this is The Big Show for MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Maybe there is a reason they let me go the first time. Very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He is the voice of the Calgary Flames. He is Derek Wills. Willsy, I don't get to do this a whole lot. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing well, coming off of a game where you got to work on the goal call quite a bit last night. A lot of practice on that thing over the last couple of days. As we come down the stretch here, what have you made of how the Flames have kind of handled these last few games?
Yeah, with 20 goals between the teams in the last couple of games, 6-3 victory over the Ducks, 6-5 win last night in what was a game. It was interesting because checking was optional in that game against the Coyotes, but it was a fun night at Scotiabank Saddledome. I mean, anytime there's 11 goals scored and the home team scores at least one more goal than the visiting team, that's fun. And at this stage of the year, listen, you're going to have games like that. You're talking about two non-playoff teams who are playing out the spring, and I felt for the goaltenders last night, more so for Dustin Wolf. I know he gave up one or two that he'd probably like to have back, but I thought Carter Hutton struggled mightily in that hockey game. And you know, the Flames, I give them credit. They just won't go away in games. Down 2-0, down 3-2, down 5-3. They battle back all three times to take their first lead. And then I thought they actually played better after that, protecting the lead. So it's been a game that I'm sure has been frustrating for the goaltenders, frustrating for the coaches, because it's not how they want their team to play, but you know, kind of fun for the broadcasters and for the fans to see all those goals scored.
We were talking in here yesterday, this time a year ago, it felt different, at least from my perspective. Like the games are 2-1. One team has 15 shots. It feels like everyone's kind of miserable. This year, you got the kids going. Pospisil's hitting everything that moves. Kuzmenko's doing between the legs passes. One out of every three shots are going in. You've been around this team for a long time now. I guess specifically just in the last 365 days, does it feel a bit different coming out of this season compared to last year?
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, last year was different for a number of different reasons, but the standings were different. The Flames were in it right until the end, or almost until the end. This year, they've been realistically out of it for quite some time, mathematically eliminated, a week or two ago. And I think they're at the point, I think most fans are at the point where it's like, okay, let's just enjoy this hockey for as long as we have it. And there's one road game and one home game to go now, 80 down, 2 to go. And let's see what happens this summer. Craig Conroy has stockpiled 9 picks in this draft, including 2 first rounders. He's got 24 picks in the next 3 drafts, including 5 first rounders. Who does he pick? Does he keep all of those picks? Does he trade some to try to improve the team to keep them competitive for next season? So there's plenty of storylines as we head towards the offseason here. And last season, even though the Flames were in the thick of it into the final week of the season, you're right. There was this black cloud hanging over the team all year. And everybody seemed to be so miserable last season, even though the Flames were fighting for a playoff spot going into the last 3 or 4 games. This season, I think it's safe to say the guys are having more fun. They're enjoying playing for Ryan Huska. They're enjoying being around one another. And I know it's been a frustrating season for them because this is not how they wanted it to go. This is not when they wanted it to end. But they're trying to build a culture here, and they continue to try to win hockey games. And you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they play the right way and win, and sometimes they play the wrong way, like last night, and win, and sometimes they lose. But I think we're just all at the point where we've wrapped our heads around what has happened this season. And now, at least for me, it's kind of about looking forward. And I'm anxious to see what the general manager does during the offseason because he's certainly got a lot of chips to play with.
One of the chips that he acquired, Andre Kuzmenko, the Kuzmenko show, as you have said, in full effect. It sounds better when you do it and there's a goal horn and there's people cheering. But he has been incredible to watch, especially paired up with Kadri and Pospisil. Anything about the Andre Kuzmenko experience that maybe you weren't expecting that has kind of surprised you over his first little bit here as a Calgary Flame?
He looks like a different player right now. I mean, he was really good in his first couple of games with the team, and then he really fell off. And he's a guy who has a reputation for being a little bit inconsistent, and we've certainly seen that from him. But he also has an incredible amount of skill. I mean, I would say he is top five as far as gifted offensive players go in the game. He just, the way he can skate, he's got great edges. Obviously, he's got an elite shot. He's really creative on the ice. And I would say that Nazem Kadri, and probably to a little bit lesser extent, Martin Pospisil, have unlocked him a little bit. I would also say that he's unlocked the Flames' power play, which I don't think it's a coincidence that once Kuzmenko found his game, that the Flames' power play started to click, and they got another goal last night, which was good to see. And it was a timely one as well in a 5-5 hockey game. But we had a chance to chat with Ryan Huska, as we do before every home game, and we asked about Kuzmenko yesterday. And the first thing he said was he's dropped a few kilos. So there's a few things that he was fighting against when he got here, probably four, actually, as I go through the list in my head. Number one, he gets traded for the first time in his career. He had only played for one NHL team, and that was the Canucks. And, you know, he had a great rookie season. They signed him to an extension about halfway through it, and his sophomore season just wasn't going very well. So he gets moved basically as a salary dump, so they could free up some space to bring in Elias Lindholm. And they paid a pretty price to get Lindholm. I mean, at the time, Kuzmenko did not look like the best asset in that deal. And maybe he's still not. You got that first round pick. You got a really good prospect in Hunter Brustevich. But now it's looking like he's a lot more than a throw in and a guy who can be coached up and a guy who is now feeling better physically because he was dealing with an illness and a back issue. Mentally, because you could tell he's having a ton of fun, and he's found a little spot for himself at 5-on-5 on that line with Kadri and Pospisil, and has been a huge part of the Flames' power play. And now I think he's a guy who is probably going to get you something in return before the trade deadline next year, or a guy who you can move forward with and sign to an extension. But I don't hear any more talk of trying to get out from under his contract as I did for quite some time. He's so much fun to watch on the ice because he is so gifted offensively and so creative, and that shot is just lethal. And he's also fun to watch off the ice. Thinking about how in that game against the Ducks on Friday, a goal got challenged. So he's sitting on the bench waiting to see if it's a good goal or not. And once he finds out that it is, just his celebration, like it literally made us laugh as we were calling that hockey game. So yeah, he's a fun guy to be around. And I think he's brought some life to this Flames team as well.
Wilsey, Brent Cron here. Just to Kuzmenko's recent success too. And I do agree with you on the personality part. He is fun to listen to and see his emotion on the bench. The Flames have also enjoyed a little bit of power play success here too. Mm-hmm. And I know you alluded to Kuzmenko and his abilities, but what else are you seeing from the Flames power play that's getting it done?
Well, I think they're keeping it simpler. And sometimes simple is best. They're getting pucks to the net, and they're getting bodies to the net, and they're creating some chaos. Backing it up a little bit, they've done a little bit better job in the faceoff circle. When they lose the faceoff and have to chase the puck down the ice, they've done a little bit better job with entries, although they struggled with that in their first couple of power plays last night, and then obviously had success on their third power play scoring that goal. But Andre Kuzmenko is such a threat kind of below the hash marks because you have to be aware of where he is. So I think he's opened things up for other guys, but they've got Mackenzie Weegar, who's really good at getting the puck through to the net from the point. And then they've got five skilled players on the ice, with him being the one defenseman and four forwards who seem to complement each other. For me, the second power play has been less effective. But there's been some moving parts on that one. So I think Kuzmenko has made a major difference now that he's feeling good about his game and playing at a really high level. But, you know, just maybe not trying to be too cute is what I'm seeing right now.
There's been quite a few defensemen come through this team this season. We've lost our D pairing in Tanev and Hanifin there. What are you seeing now amongst the pairings? Is there any positives between Shillington and Anderson or Mirmanov and Uyghur or what are you seeing from up top there? What are the positives and some of the negatives?
Yeah, I mean, you can't replace a pairing like Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev. You could argue they were the best, if not the best, and certainly one of the best shutdown pairings in the NHL this season. And obviously you're not going to get a lot of goals and points from Tanev, which is fine because he puts his partner in a position to do that and is one of the best defensive defensemen in the game. But Noah Hanifin was having a really good season offensively and defensively. So you're not going to replace a pairing like that. And it was going to have to be by committee. And I do like the addition of Daniil Mirimanov. He has a really interesting skill set and he's had some ups and downs, kind of Nikita Zadorov light in that sense, but I think there's something there. And he's, for the most part, formed a pretty good pairing with Mackenzie Uyghur. Now, it's kind of hard to talk about the defense pairings coming off of a stretch where the Flames gave up 8 goals in 2 games, because I think they'd be the first one to tell you that they probably weren't at their best versus the Ducks and certainly not against the Coyotes. But you know, that pairing's done a pretty good job playing against the other team's top players. And then there's been some movement in the bottom four, because for me, that's their first pairing. Right now, there's a clear second pairing with Oliver Shillington and Rasmus Anderson, and they've had their moments. I think Anderson's probably playing his best hockey of the season right now. It's been good to see him use his shot, because that's something the coaches have been on him about forever, including recently. But now he's, you know, kind of averaging 2.5-3 shots a game over this last 10-game stretch or so. So that's been good to see. And Oliver Shillington, it's been a process of ramping up for him after he missed a season and a half. And, you know, I think he could potentially be really good next season once he kind of goes into it full steam ahead and has a training camp and has a preseason and isn't trying to get up to speed in the middle of a season. So right now, for me, that would be the top four on defense. And then I think you've got a bunch of guys battling to be the 5, 6, 7 guys. Braden Bahal has been really impressive for me, playing in a third pairing role, a guy who just couldn't get into the Golden Knights lineup on a regular basis. The Flames grab him on waivers. And you know, for me, Craig Conroy has made 3 good waiver claims this season. I know AJ Greer's game has fallen off in the second half and you know, Joel Hanley's hurt right now, but Braden Bahal, he's been good defensively and he's brought a physicality to this team that, I don't think they have enough of. He is 3rd in the team in hits behind Martin Pospisil and Mackenzie Uyghur since he joined the team on February 6th. So I've enjoyed watching him play. And then you've got a bunch of guys who are trying to figure out what they are and who the Flames are trying to figure out what they are at the NHL level. And, you know, right now I would say Nikita Hochuk is struggling, but he'll be in the mix next season. Joel Hanley's been fine as, I would say, probably a 7 guy in a perfect world, but I think you'd be happy to have him as a 7 guy who doesn't play every game. And we'll have to wait and see what happens with some of these young guys. Jeremy Poirier, I don't think, has been at his best since he come back from kind of a freak injury, but he's got a lot of offensive upside. Hunter Burstavich is a guy who, coming out of junior, I'm sure will go into training camp in the preseason, pushing for an NHL job. And even if he starts in the AHL, wouldn't be surprised to see him next season. And they've got some other pretty good prospects down there. And I'll have to wait and see what they do in the last couple of games here. I'd like to see probably a little bit more of Ilya Solovyov, because I think he's got a good chance to be one of this team's top 7 defensemen next season. So they've got a lot of options there. And then you also have the option to add somebody in the draft. You know, from what I've read, it's likely that 7 of the first top 10 picks will be defensemen. It's a defense-heavy draft in the first round. And then maybe you sign somebody in free agency or you make a trade and you bring someone in who is clearly a top 4 guy for you. So again, lots of intrigue as we head towards the offseason here.
Matt Coronato scores that great shot on the 2-on-1 last night. Early in the season against Pittsburgh, he had a great shot on the power play too. And Flames fans, obviously including myself, are really excited to see what he could do this season. Since his last call-up, what have you seen in his growth from playing in the minors for a little while and then getting called up here and having the confidence to take that shot on that 2-on-1 last night. Where do you see his game at?
He's coming around. There's been some ups and downs. There have been games or stretches in games where he's looked like he's figured it out, and then he kind of goes away again. We actually asked Ryan Husk about him yesterday, and that's what the Flames head coach had to say, and that's kind of what we've seen as well. And I thought there were times in Friday's game against the Ducks where he almost looked dominant out there. And the one thing that I think he struggled with going from the AHL to the NHL, and it's his first season as a pro, so he's going to have his ups and downs, is just finding the time and the space to use a shot, because that is his most valuable weapon. And last night we saw him use that shot. And it's amazing what happens when you hit the net, isn't it? Because in that game against the Ducks, he put himself in a great position to shoot a bunch of times, and he kept missing the net. Not going to score if you don't put the puck on the net. But last night on that 2-on-1, he just fires that shot. It explodes off his stick, and he picks the top corner. And that's the Matt Coronato the Flames believe they were getting with a first-round pick. And you know, that's the guy who they saw at Harvard, and that's the guy who they saw playing for the Calgary Wranglers this season. And you know, he's a smart guy. He'll figure it out at the NHL level, and I think he's already getting to a point, Connor, where he's learning how to create time and space for himself. So with a lot of young players, including him, it's about being consistent at what you do, and he'll get there. It might not be this season, but I'd almost be surprised if he didn't start next season at the NHL level.
Moving forward here, Wilsey, playoffs starting here pretty quick. Fun time of year. Unfortunately, the Flames are not going to be a part of it. Who are you kind of go? You've seen every team in the league this season. Your eyes in the sky. Who are a couple of teams in the West that we should be watching? Who are a couple of teams in the East?
You know what's interesting is, and I don't know if you guys see it the same way, I don't think there's really a clear favorite going into the playoffs this year. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, it feels like there's like 12 or 13 teams that if they won, you wouldn't be surprised, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember it being this wide open in quite some time. I don't think you can count out the defending champions. I mean, is anybody surprised that Mark Stone suddenly seems to be healthy right near the end of the regular season? I mean, come on.
I was shocked, Wilsey. I was shocked.
Yeah. I feel like the league has to do something about that. And I don't even blame Stone or the Golden Knights, because they found a loophole and they've found a way to make that work. So good for them. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. And they're not even cheating, but you know what I mean. I hate to say this, and I'm probably going to upset some people by saying this, but I feel like if the Oilers get goaltending, they've got a chance. This, for me, is the deepest roster they've had in my 10 seasons calling Flames games and calling the Battle of Alberta. Obviously, they've got a ton of high-end skill up front. I loved the addition of Matthias Ekholm last season, and I think he's been even better for them this season. But I think the Oilers are a team that if they get good goaltending from Stuart Skinner, they could potentially make a run as well. The Avalanche, obviously, they've got some of the best players in the world. Nathan MacKinnon might win the Hart Trophy. He's been outstanding this season and can take games over and can take series over. So those would probably be my top three picks in the West. The East for me is so hard. I mean, you just look at the fight for the final playoff spots in that conference, and it's going to be tough to get out of round one, which generally it is over on that side. But you know, the Maple Leafs are a team that if they can get some goaltending, I don't love their defense, but I do love their group of forwards. The Bruins will probably get goaltending. I have a harder time envisioning them winning a Stanley Cup without Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci than with them. And you know, despite the record-setting regular season last year, they couldn't get the job done. I never count out the Lightning just because they've won two of the last four Stanley Cups. They've still got most of their core intact. They've got a goaltender in Andre Vasilevsky who's been there and done that and always seems to be at his best in the playoffs. Nikita Kucherov is a guy who, again, is in the conversation for a Hart Trophy. Victor Hedman is still one of the best blue liners in the game. They don't have the depth that they did when they won their last championship, but they've still got that high-end talent. So, you know, for me, they would be in the running again. They're just – and the Rangers. I had the Rangers as my dark horse to win it last season. And if I'm not mistaken, I haven't looked at the standings this morning, but I think they're first overall. I think they're the front runners to win the President's Trophy. So, you know, they're a team that – has been on the precipice for a couple of years, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a run. But you know, for me, the East is going to be an absolute battle, and the West will be as well, but I think to a lesser extent. I think you do have kind of a couple of tiers as far as the Western Conference playoff teams. But when I look at those Eastern Conference teams, there's not a lot to choose between any of them, certainly in the top five or six for me. So tougher for me to predict that conference. If you guys had to pick one team out of each conference, who would you go with?
Ooh, I like the Rangers as well. I think Panarin is absurd, and that team is really, really good. And out West, I'm going to go Dallas. I know it's a little chalky because
I should have mentioned them.
I just picked the top two teams in each conference, so really going out on a limb here. But Dallas is just such a complete team, and I think the world of that group. So I would say that the top two teams in each conference, watch out. They might be something to mess with.
I'm Dallas all the way in the West, and I'm picking Florida in the East.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I should have mentioned the Stars and the Panthers. You guys, you're bang on with those picks. The Stars addition of Chris Tanev was just so smart because he was the one element that I think they were missing. You've got Jake Oettinger. We saw him in the first round 2 years ago. He's maybe the best young goaltender in the game. Their defense is deep. Up front, they've got young guys who are good and old guys who are still pretty good. And yeah, the Panthers, talk about being on the precipice. They won the President's Trophy a couple of years ago. They go to the Stanley Cup final last season. Sergei Bobrovsky is looking more like a Vezina Trophy guy than, you know, the guy whose contract looked like it was going to be an albatross. And love him or hate him, Matthew Tkachuk is a gamer. And I wonder if they give the Golden Knights a bigger fight if he's healthy in the final last season. So all good picks. I mean, again, it just goes to show you. There probably are a dozen teams that could win the Stanley Cup this season. And most years, it feels like there's maybe two or three. And I think about when the Avalanche won it. For me, they were the clear favorites going into the playoffs, and they got the job done.
Yeah, and now like one of Winnipeg and Colorado is going to be out in the first round, and that's going to be bitterly disappointing for whoever loses that one. Wilsey, this has been a blast, man. Thanks for doing this today, and we'll chat again soon.
Good to talk with you guys today, and hopefully two more fun hockey games left. Just quickly before I go, are you guys finding it hard to wrap your head around the end of the Arizona Coyotes after almost three decades? Like, that was their last road game last night.
Yeah, it felt like it was, okay, maybe it's not, maybe it is. They're leaving tomorrow. Like, it came so out of nowhere that it's like, weird. Like, they have one game left. It's wild to me.
It doesn't shock me for a second, Will.
But it feels like it's been 27 years of are they staying? Are they going? Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like in the blink of an eye, they're gone. They're going to Utah. Like the team's going to travel there after their last game. Like, wow.
Yeah. I got no nerve endings left for this team. They left Winnipeg. You know, that was sad. I'm a Manitoba boy. They go down to Phoenix. They, you know, struggle around down there. Now they're gone. It's hopefully this team can put themselves back on the map. But it all happened so quick.
Well, the Calgary Flames will miss the Arizona Coyotes because they swept the season series. They've got an 11-game point streak and an 8-game home winning streak against that group. So I'm kind of sad to see them go. But great chat with you guys, and enjoy your, what day is today? Tuesday?
Monday? I think it's Monday.
It's
Monday.
Actually Monday today, Derek. Yeah.
Enjoy your Monday.
Yeah, you as well, Wills. You have a good one. There is the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza past the steaks and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. I know we have to go to a break, but it was noticeable last night how every stat was, the Flames are 9-0-2 in their last 11 against the Coyotes. The Flames are 105-6 in their last 111 games against Arizona. Like, it's just been fairly one-sided the last little while.
I wonder if the change of scenery to Salt Lake, just because they moved to Salt Lake and it's the same team that they just, the wheels start falling off the Flames, crushing the Coyotes.
Yeah, just devastating them. Yeah, it's that
mountain. Salt Lake becomes like the new Honda Center. it's just a place where Flames go to die.
To get extinguished.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Sizzler. Right. I had more, but we're not going to top that. We're going to go to a break. More bangers like that in the final half hour of the program next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
A well-oiled machine here today. No Russick or Rose. It is Peter Klein and Brent Cron with you, GVP, in here as well. I got to say, I may have got one of their names wrong, I think, at some point today, but producers, hanging in. Doing a good job.
Doing well.
Doing well. I hated producing.
Why's that?
So anyone who does, it's just not what I wanted to do.
Fair enough.
And I, you know, a lot of circumstances around when I became producer. So, no, shout out the boys on the ones and twos today for doing a great job being thrown into it at 5 a.m.
It can be bravo. A tough task with this one. It's a lot of stuff. A
lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're a pilot on a plane. There's lots of buttons back there.
Right.
Is there an eject button in case you just feel like you can't do it? You're out of here?
No, just a buzzer to shut you up every now and then.
Yeah, is it labeled Kron shut up buzzer back there?
It's just a big giant red button that says buzzer. Come on, give me a hit of the button. There it is. Yeah. Thank you.
Now I feel comfortable.
There you go.
Yeah, there we are.
There we go. Now I feel real good.
This is the big show here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, from the DL Basement Systems downtown studio. Do you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings? Visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. They are all things basement-y. Coming up still this segment, we will have the lock of the day. Croner has a line read coming up. You got it. Looks like you got it prepped. Do you want to just do it now?
I'm all horned up for this. It's been in my hand the whole 2.5 hours here.
Yes.
It's actually got us there. Might want to turn that down just a tad.
That came in hot.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was good, though.
Whoa.
That hit me right in the solar plexus. Brent Cron is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service. For all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls, call 403-266-1411.
Boy, I have a lot of feelings right now. That was really good.
Absolutely. If you need your doors, that's where you go. You get a little saxophone playing in the background.
Yeah.
Right? How else are you supposed to do it?
It's how you should just live life, just saxophone playing in the background the whole time.
Did you ever play an instrument in school, Peter?
I was a guitar guy for a little bit.
Oh yeah. Well, you weren't any good at it, though.
No, you just carried it around.
Like, I can play you a chord, right?
Because
the guys...
I can hit that G chord like no one else, you know? Yeah.
It's awful, because there's so many people that, you know, like, I'm going to play the guitar. I'm self-taught, right? And then they want to play the guitar. And half the time they suck, right?
Yeah.
And so it's nice when you meet a good guitarist, right? Because it's fun to carry around a guitar case. It's a big deal. People are like, oh man, it's a musician. They assume if you own a guitar and you're carrying a case around, you're a musician.
Yes.
Immediately, right? I played alto saxophone.
Did you?
Yes.
Mm.
And I wasn't very good. I forgot my instrument most of the time.
Reeds.
Oh yeah, they were those cracked reeds.
You have moist reeds.
Oh, moist reeds. When they'd get cracked too, it would ruin your game, right? Mm. And it wasn't your fault. And if you had dry lips too, it just didn't work, right? Like, to your point about moisture, right? But I would hide, my saxophone underneath the stairs. So I said, oh, I forgot it at home.
Oh no!
And I remember my band teacher actually saying she found the alto saxophone underneath the stairs, and it said Brent Cron. She's like, well, actually, it was sitting underneath the stairs. I'm like, oh. There it is. Oh,
you
great.
Detective.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much. I hated that thing. I'm not very musically inclined.
No.
I took a year of band in grade 7. I played the drums.
Yeah, you did.
Your parents must love you.
Yeah.
Did you put your nutsack on my drum set?
I didn't have a drum set at home or anything. I just did it at school. And then I didn't like it after a year and decided to take like gym class or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no. I wasn't like, oh, carry my guitar around guy. Like, as with most things, I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in it. But my guitar instructor was also the math teacher. And so I think he thought he was doing me a favor. Like, yeah, we'll get Klein up here. He can play some guitar and woo all of these ladies in the class here. And it sounded like when you're drunk at 3 a.m. playing Guitar Hero. And
Guitar Hero ruined guitar for everybody, I think. Because I actually thought I could play guitar.
Red, yeah, but just blue, five yellow, buttons. Blue. I can...
Blue, yellow,
trigger.
Yeah. just having a blast, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Oh, man.
False hopes.
Yeah. Speaking of false hopes, the Calgary Flames. But I think this year has kind of gone, I think, how a lot of people did anticipate it to go. But I the Kuzmenko conversation is, I think, one that isn't going to go away for the next little while. GVP and I talked about it going into Friday's game. He has 6 points since then. He is at a pace of, just with the Flames, 42 goals and 30 assists with what he is doing right now. Now, probably not going to keep shooting 26%. That feels a little unsustainable, but I think this is going to be a really difficult call for Craig Conroy and company. He's just young enough that it's like, oh yeah, he'll still be good when we're good again. But he's just old enough that it's like, will he? And the skills are enticing enough that it's like, there's no way you can give this guy up. But also, he takes weeks off at a time sometimes. I have no idea what you do with this guy. I said with GVP on Friday, I do think eventually the logical move is to trade him and get the assets and whatever. But I am going to be very sad whenever he leaves. What have you made of Kuzmenko, and do you view him as a part of the solution to whenever the Flames get good again?
Well, he's playing well now. So everybody's like, oh, he's a great goal scorer. Oh, this is great. We love watching him play. He's got a great personality. You know, everything's going right. So we're all like that. We're team Kuzmenko. He scored 39 goals, which everybody keeps bringing up, which is hard to do in the National Hockey League. So you go to his skill set. Yeah, the guy can score goals. He loves scoring goals. We see it. Like I said, he's energetic on the bench. He's very involved. But when things go south with this guy, it's he's two different people, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? He's invisible, right? You
he's don't miss games because of that. Like,
right.
He's been literally scratched.
Right.
And other times he looks like the best player on the ice.
So to me,
for
him, it's like hockey has to be fun. If it's not fun, he's not involved. If he's scoring goals, as long as he's getting his points, and I'm not trying to make him look like a selfish player, but he's very one-dimensional, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look at a guy like Patrick Laine, who could score goals at will there for the longest time, but you expect more out of him, and it's not going to happen, right?
Like, right.
He doesn't do anything else but score goals. So if he's not scoring, he's a liability, right? And so same thing with Kuzmenko. He's scoring goals. He's on the power play now. He's not a liability because he is producing, but you can't count on him. He's not a dependable player, right? And now we're playing meaningless games where they're, you know, Coleman's down and there's a bunch of, you know, they're line swapping and trying to figure stuff out. And you got anybody they've put with Kadri this season has had success.
Yeah.
So great, but you know, he's not a player that can do it on his own. He needs support. And what that looks like moving forward for the Calgary Flames, I don't know. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
I don't at
that,
all.
That kind of brings up another like topic. Like, how many players really on this Flames roster can you count on game in and game out, right? When it comes to mind, it's really about three, maybe four. It's Kadri, Backlund, Coleman, and throw Markstrom in there, I guess, for this season.
Yeah.
It's really about it.
Really?
100%,
right? And I mean, you could even throw Sharon Govich in that conversation too, right? Yes, he scored 30 goals this season. He's had a great year. It was a win of a trade for Craig Conroy.
Yeah,
unloading.
People will throw Uyghur into that conversation as well. It's just that you don't necessarily know exactly what you're going to get from him on the defensive side of the puck, game in and game out.
100%. He is a leader. We've seen his comments too about how he wants to be a part of something big here in Calgary, and he's saying all the right things. He's ultra competitive. You can see he wears his emotion on his sleeve. On the bench, he's driven. He does give the puck away, right? He is a high-risk, high-reward type of player too, right?
Yeah, good thing he's paired with Miro Manov.
So. Oh, man. Like, that goal, I think it was third or fourth goal Phoenix scored last night where Zari, you know, had the puck at his own blue line, tries to make a pass, goes off the Phoenix player shin pad. You do see Miro Manov on the far wing just busting his behind straight down like he was a winger driving for the post.
Yeah.
And then there's a giveaway. Miro Manov slams on the brakes, blows a wheel, and it's now, you know, a 3-on-1 coming back, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's Miro Manov all offense. So, you know, it comes down to trust. And if you're rebuilding, you have young players. You want the Backlunds around. You want the Colemans around, right? The responsible players where these young guys are going to be making mistakes. Zari's making strides at center ice. That's great, but this is his first season. They brought it up on the broadcast again last night where, you know, if he could figure out that center role with the Flames at a team that doesn't have that center depth, great, but this is all kind of pie in the sky right now. And a guy like Kuzmenko can blow that up and make you look good for a certain amount of time, but drag you down into the mud in the same breath, right? So
totally.
He's one of those guys. He's like he's a piece. He's not a cog in the wheel, right? Like he's that guy that you put him power play, you put him on the third line, you don't use him kind of sparingly, right? And in certain select situations, but you're not counting on him to produce, and you got to be okay with the inconsistencies the player brings night in and night out.
Yeah, and he is someone, like, I saw Francis wrote a story about him today, and I, like an idiot, went to the comment section and was like, oh, he does liability in the defensive end. And I think sometimes people can get too, like, everyone just expects everyone to be Patrice Bergeron, 200-foot player, everyone does this. You know what? It's cool that some guys just score, but when they're not scoring, it's not like they, oh, he does the little things that help you.
Like Alex Ovechkin was a minus player for plenty of years of his career.
Yeah, and like you look at, like, Backlund just went 12 games without a point and no one noticed because he still does all those things that help. But if you're not doing the one thing you're supposed to do, it piles up quick.
Well, how about Phil Kessel, too? I mean, when he was in Toronto, he was supposed to be the man. It did not go well. And not everybody has the luxury of being traded to Pittsburgh and playing on the third line and second line power play with, or first line power play with Crosby and Malkin, right? Yeah. He went there, he gets the pot goals. Everybody's like, oh, their whole perception of Phil Kessel has changed. His game, nothing has changed. It's just, you can't depend on him.
Yeah.
You cannot rely on him. He's not a trustworthy player. He's a cookie monster. The guy wants his goals and he wants to win. That's how he plays the game. So if you want to have him around, you're not turning Kuzmenko into a two-way forward. He is a goal scorer, right? Like, playing with Pavel Brendl was the funniest thing because you wouldn't notice him on the ice the whole game. And you'd play with him. And then you'd look at the score sheet and he had 4 points. You know, like three secondary assists and a goal, right? Yeah. On the power play, right? Or an empty netter or whatever. And those types of players drive fans insane. They drive their teammates insane. They drive the coaching staff insane because what am I going to get? You know, to your point about Ovechkin, GVP, right? I mean, he was a selfish player early on in his career. He was banging and crashing. He was all goals. He's matured over the years. They've won a Stanley Cup. The perception of Ovi is he's a pure goal scorer, but he does a few other things that make him valuable to his club. Yeah, what else does Kuzmenko do for the Flames right now that makes him valuable?
He's really fun to be around sometimes.
Yeah, right? And I'm not knocking the guy, but like, you need goals in this league.
No, you're not
wrong. It's the most important thing.
Yeah.
I need goals. But that comes at a cost, and you're a minus player, and you're not playing defense, and you're thinking forward. So, okay, you're a power play guy, and we'll get we'll try to get our matchups at home, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is his ceiling, I think. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, no, we're seeing best case scenario for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like he's going to be like the best player on a team that's up and coming and making his way into the playoffs. He's a nice piece to have to add to your goal scoring depth. He's not a Batman. He's a Robin. He's a sidekick.
I like that. I like that.
But it's so tough for me because when he's on, it's a talent level this team hasn't had in a while.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, man, it'll be tough to give that up, but they probably will have to.
And it'd be a nice talent to add to, number 10 if he ever finds his way.
Yeah.
You know, which doesn't make sense to me, too, right? Like, Kuzmenko being a quote-unquote finisher, for whatever you want to call it. I mean, a guy like Huberto was a setup man. He had Barkov in Florida, which Barkov, we're not comparing anybody on this team to Barkov, but what I'm saying is Huberto's a setup man, right? That's what he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get him guys that can shoot, that can finish, right? And so I don't know where that goes, but you sit there and think, having both those guys on the same line scares the hell out of me, right? If you were to put Huberto and Kuzmenko on the same line, you'd have to put Backlund at center, and he would never be in the offensive zone, right?
He would just
feed pucks up the ice.
Yeah.
With Kuzmenko, I don't know. Like, I'm not... I enjoy watching him. I like his personality. I like his demeanor. But when things are going well, right? We've also seen him when things aren't going well, and it's very emotionally, it's up and down.
Yeah, he sticks out almost every game, whether it's for what we saw over these last two games with Anaheim and yesterday's game against the Coyotes, for him being this standout player. And then on the flip side of things, he stands out like a sore thumb in the defensive zone, and he's not producing. Well, it's two extremes.
For sure. There's nothing in the middle. There's no consistency, I believe would be the term. And you're also playing...
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that word. But the games against Arizona and Anaheim weren't hard games.
No.
They weren't physically demanding, right?
Like, no, they were kind of in his wheelhouse,
You weren't getting pasted against the board. You weren't... George always makes fun of him for how he protects the puck. Right, sarcastically. And, obviously he's a good player. He can, but we got to give him a hard time on the show. But when you put him in a hard game, what does he do? Right. And so this is all fun. This is something to talk about. It's exciting. But once again, these last two games, they haven't been a physical grind. They haven't been a test. Nobody's finishing their check on you. Nobody's giving you the extra shot. Right. And so now you're able to almost go out and play. I played in these meaningless games too. And they can be fun because it's like, well, nobody cares. You're playing for pride. Like, you have professional approaches to the game, but just nobody's finishing their checks. There's not that extra shot after the whistle. Yeah, you see Dryden Hunt fight yesterday. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's in a different spot than a lot of guys. He's 28. He's fighting he's still under contract for next year. He's trying to, establish himself as a player for this team moving forward, right? But whereas Kuzmenko is not in that position.
Make sure that if you missed any of the show today, first of all, shame on you. But if you missed any of it, it is available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or wherever. Also, if you want to hear what I sound like when I can swear, I have a podcast called Couch Potato Diary. All right, it is now time for our lock of the day. The lock of the day brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located at 50th Ave in the southeast.
No stinger on this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Should just let it hang for a while.
Letting his bills
just stew. Yeah.
Drama. Anyway, we'll let GVP start with this because I clearly don't know what I'm doing. So, GVP, the floor is yours.
We're going to take a look at this Blue Jays and Yankees game. They're starting a series here tonight. Chris Bassitt will be on the bump. You never really know what you're getting with Chris Bassitt, I feel, when it comes to his starts. So I'm going to take a look at Juan Soto. His total base total set at 1.5 here. The over on that is plus money. I like that. Lock it in.
Oh, is it my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Great. You know what? I'm going to the ice. The Bruins and the Capitals. Capitals are in the second spot in the wild card race. 87 points. They got two games remaining. They're playing the Bruins tonight. I'm taking the over 5.5.
Oh, I like that one. All right. Honestly, I was going to go total bases in that Blue Jays game with Vlad, but I'll go a different direction. Sidney Crosby's playing out of his mind right now. Penguins need a win against the Nashville Predators. I'm going to go Crosby, 2 or more points at plus 160. Think he has a dull timer.
Nice.
Lock it in. All right. Did we do it?
That's it.
We locked up the day.
Boom, nailed it.
Yeah. Excellent. Look at us go.
Yeah.
I do have one question here for Cron as we kind of wind this one down today. Last night in the final couple minutes of the game, Connor Ingram took a stick, threw the mask right into what appeared to be the eyeballs.
Yeah.
Have you ever, if you tried to do that, I don't think you could do it. Have you ever had anything seep through the padding that kind of caught you?
The only thing that I've had is guys spraying me with snow every time when I'd stop that. And it used to be able to get, it was a license to beat the wheels off of somebody while I sat there and watched. but now that doesn't really happen that much. I would try to stick a stick through my cat eye mask too, though, right? And it does go through, but the odds of it actually happening are like,
I always worried for Tim Thomas for that to happen to him. Remember the cage he had? He had the huge, like, square eye cutouts.
I know.
One of the more unique masks ever. And I always worried, like, dude, someone's just going to stick Timmy Thomas one of these days, but I don't know.
Never happened.
No.
Right? And then the percentage of that happening is absolute zero. But you know, when they said on the broadcast, dude, looks like he got his nose hurt. I'm like, that's his eye.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know you can't see it from up there, and I'm not being a jerk. It's just, I didn't know what happened.
Right.
I had to rewind it. I'm like, why is he skating off? What? I mean, yeah, you're letting six goals. That's a tough night. But you still have 2 minutes and 37 seconds left.
Let's be professionals here.
And then he's just kind of passing through, and he's just following through, and his stick goes right in his eyes.
Oh, that looked miserable.
That's awful.
And he had, as we talked about, he had already had a rough like 10-15 minutes there in that third period. And then I'll just take one of the eyeballs, don't worry about it.
The puck every once in a while we've seen over the years too will get stuck in the cat. I won't go through it, but that's a pretty pretty scary feeling.
That's got to get the heart rate up to about 200. Yeah. There's a puck coming in at 100 miles an hour, just boom.
You know, I had those kids at the Junior Flames program shooting pucks at my kneecaps yesterday, and that hurts a lot with no protection, right? So if you get a big-time NHLer with a rocket right at your dome, scary stuff.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. No, they made me play goal for a little bit in the minor hockey days. Didn't go great. Absolutely hated it. And that was against 10-year-olds.
Yeah,
so the professionals shooting at 100 miles an hour.
Was goaltending something that you wanted to do immediately when you were a kid? Immediately was the first position you always wanted to play?
I wasn't a great skater at the start. I had a mullet. Eddie Belfour
at this point in time had a
mullet. Yeah. I think Mike Vernon actually might have rocked one too at a certain point in time. I played my first year as kind of a hybrid, right?
Okay.
When I was 9 years old, and I would just stand by the goalie, and people would be like, "Hey, like, it's not where the game's playing. You want to go chase that down?" And I soon realized that when I tried to chase stuff down, I could skate, but I wasn't fast, and so I was just chasing the game all over the ice. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But if I was a net, the game's coming to me every time, and people come tap me on the pads and say, "Good job," because when you're little, you get compliments.
Yeah.
When you get older, it's like, well, you should have stopped that one. Hey, like, what's the matter? But I never looked back. I was a goalie through and through.
Hmm.
No choice.
And now look at you.
I have all my teeth. right?
Yeah.
Right, which is really huge to say. Stuff's rattling around between the ears, but all my jibs are mine.
Again, a fantastic way to end this program. This has been fun, gents. This Mad Lib randomly thrown together, drawn names out of a hat program. I think it went all right.
Did a great job, PK. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. That's that. See, I was the goalie looking for a little stiff tap at the end of the game.
Little tap on the pads.
Yeah, yep. Just needed that. All right. I have no idea who's coming on tomorrow, but I'm sure it'll be fun. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to drastically shift things up here. For the first segment, GVP is going to be hosting, and his special guest, me. We're going to talk about UFC 300. All the, as I mentioned before, badassery that happened. I imagine Max Holloway's epic win is going to come up as well as the title fight in the main event. Anything else that we should get ready for in the 9 o'clock hour after I sold that so well?
We might set the slate for a little bit of tonight's action. Maybe touch on a few Blue Jays notes as well. Maybe some stuff around the NHL.
Nice. Love it. All right. That is coming up next. Y'all have a wonderful day and we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.